Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Tim Andrews. You normally hear me Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. on the Von Hessler Doctrine right here on WSB. This is my weekly pop culture and entertainment show. I do talk to a lot of comedians. Comedians are funny. Comedians make me laugh. Comedians make me happy. And my first guest this week is a very funny 32-year-old comedian from Nashville, Tennessee. He is coming to the Punchline Thursday, April 25th through Sunday, April 27th. His name is Aaron Weber, and you can find him at AaronWeberComedy.com. Aaron, have you played the Punchline before?
This will be my second time getting to headline the club. I've been there a few times as the opener, doing guest spots, but my second time with my name on the sign outside, so it's pretty exciting.
Isn't that awesome? And the other exciting thing about playing that place is that you can have a huge meal every single night and a giant piece of cake.
I know. I always judge a comedy club by its proximity to a diner.
Uh-huh.
And the Punchline scores pretty high in that category.
That's number one, I believe.
That's right. I mean, it's inside of a diner. You can hear orders being taken when you're on stage. So it's perfect for that.
Now, you are a part of the Nate Land podcast, which is a gigantic universe of successful and funny comedians. Can you tell me how you got involved in that?
I feel like my whole career is just being in the right room at the right time. So I've just been very lucky to have guys like Nate Bargatze and Dusty Slay around. And so I met Nate just at shows around town. And when COVID happened, you know, all our dates were canceled. And Nate just hit me up and said, do you want to do this podcast? And it's been awesome, man. We've been doing it almost 4 years now, I think. We tape it every week. We've added Dusty Slay at about the halfway point. He's now a regular on the podcast. So it's just me and three of my good friends just sitting down every week talking about nonsense. It's the best.
Isn't that fun? You can just have a conversation and in the meantime make people laugh, and then you bring the fans in. Like, a huge part of your audience comes from the podcast, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's most of it, if I'm being honest. When we started, I didn't know how long we were doing this. I didn't know if it was going to be a temporary thing until venues open back up. I mean, I definitely wouldn't have guessed we'd be doing it in 2024 still. But people come and see me. They know me from Nate Land. That's where most of them know me from.
The thing about me is, and you don't know me, but, you know, I listen to the show so much and I watch your bits and stuff that I feel like we're friends, because that's the thing. When you start listening to somebody a lot and, you know, it's a conversation, you're like, hey, I could be in that conversation.
I think that's the sign of a good podcast, if you feel like you're hanging out with them.
Yeah.
You know, I've met a ton of comedians who I'd been a fan of their podcast for a long time. And then all of a sudden you're just in a room with them. And it's a little weird. I don't want to tip my hat and be like, you know, I know everything about your life and you don't even know my name.
Right.
You know, so it's an interesting dynamic for people.
You and your group are relatively new to me, because I quit listening or paying attention to comedy for about 5 or 6 years. And then the guy who does all your booking that you were talking about on the podcast a couple weeks ago, Alan, he reached out and he said, hey, do you want to interview Dusty Slay? And I'm like, I don't know who that is. So I went home that night and I watched some of his videos. I'm like, this guy's funny. So I told Alan, yeah, book him. And then ever since then, and it's been over a year, I've gotten into him. I've gotten back into listening to podcasts and got into your stuff. So I think it's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great time for stand-up comedy, man. It does feel like a golden age for it. It's so accessible. Everybody has a podcast. You can get to know people. And I feel like live shows have an energy that they didn't have when I started, at least. So even in the last, you know, less than 10 years, it feels like we're in a really good place.
Is that how long you've been doing comedy? 10 years?
8 years. I started in 2015. I did a little bit in college before that, but that wasn't real. That was a room full of my friends, and I'm talking about, you know, marketing class or whatever. It was just nonsense. So I say that I didn't really start until I left college. I moved back to Nashville. I started going up in dive bars all around the city. That's when I really got going.
And that's how you work it. That's how you hone it. You go out every night or as many nights as you can, maybe do two or three different open mics.
That's the only advice. It's kind of frustrating when you start, because everybody says, when you ask older guys for advice, they always just say, just go up as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
And that feels like such a dismissive comment when you're younger. But now I'm older. And if anybody ever asks me for advice, that's all I tell them. It's just like, there's no playbook for this. Just get up as often as you can, wherever you can, good shows, bad shows, you'll figure it out.
People can go to YouTube. I recommend, I mean, you can listen to podcasts, but go to YouTube and check out Nate Land and follow. And then, you know, you get the shorts and your alerts and stuff. And then you can find a lot of clips from your stand-up as well that are very funny. And you can learn things about comedians, and you don't have to go to Wikipedia. Like, I found out that you collect baseball cards, but you're embarrassed by it.
Yeah, a little bit. I'd say my wife is more embarrassed than I am.
Yeah, why?
Well, she's just like, you're a grown man, and I open up the front door, and I'm tripping over padded eBay envelopes. It's just humiliating for her. We're in the process of moving, yeah, like within the next month or two, so it's a slow packing everything in the house. And I do have, I mean, it's an embarrassing amount of stuff I have in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just cards that, I mean, if everything goes right in 30 years, you know, it'll be worth a dollar. And I just have a ton of stuff. And I'm like, and my wife asked me, she's like, Aaron, you have all these cards. I mean, what is your most valuable card? And I have to be like, it's not about that. It's not about,
right.
It's not about current value. It's about potential value. If Jazz Chisholm on the Miami Marlins gets in the Hall of Fame, We're gonna be pretty good, but right now, the value on this collection is not very high.
Do you have any classics, any old cards, or when did you start buying
vintage stuff? Everything's so expensive right now. It's evened out a little bit, but when I picked up baseball cards as an adult in 2020, the market was, I mean, it was insane what these cards were going for.
People fighting each other in Target to get a blaster box.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Dude, it's crazy. Just give me an idea of how crazy the baseball card market was. I did a road trip for a gig from Nashville to Auburn, Alabama. So you can imagine how many Walmarts are between Nashville and Auburn. And I stopped at pretty much every one, and no baseball cards anywhere. Now, that was the peak of it. That was 2020, early 2021. So it's gotten better now, but I jumped in at the worst possible time financially and otherwise, but I'm still hacking away at it in 2024.
My wife and I had a child in May of 2021. Now, I'm old. Older than Dusty, even. I was 50 when we had him. So then all my baseball cards buying just went by the wayside. But the other night I was goofing off on, TikTok. They have these guys that open baseball cards. And if you're I'm just going to watch this. And then 2 hours later, what the hell did I just waste my time doing?
I know. That's how I got back into it, man. On TikTok, these breakers, I can just watch people open packs.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't even know who any of these players were, but there's something about, I mean, what's inside of there, dude? There could be $1 million card in there. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
I sold a lot of them right after he was born. I got rid of some of these. But there's stuff that's dear to me. And she, the other day, she's like, you got more to sell, don't you? I'm like, I am not trading my 72 Billy Martin. I'm not trading my 1984 OPC Don Mattingly graded 9 PSA card. I'm not selling it.
There are cards I'll never get rid of. Like, I have probably 300 Jeff Samardzija cards. He was one of my favorite players because I was a Notre Dame football fan.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a baseball player that also played college football at Notre Dame. So I have an autographed Jeff Samardzija rookie card that, I mean, it's worth $15. But I'm telling you, even if somebody offered me 20, I'm never getting rid of that.
No, you know. The only major card I've sold in the last year, I needed some money, so I sold a graded 9 or 8 or whatever, Nolan Ryan. It was a 74, I think. But even that was hard. Like, I got it, and I sold it, and I'm putting it in the envelope going, I wonder if I could find a way to not have to mail this.
Yeah, man, there's something about it. I picked it back up when I was getting married, and so I don't know. I mean, I think if I were honest with myself, it's me trying to cling on to my childhood a little bit.
Oh, it absolutely
is. You know,
when
you feel yourself growing up, and I'm doing these adult things, and I clung to the most childhood-like thing I could think of, and that was baseball cards at the moment. So I'm still hanging on for now.
I want to defend baseball cards a little bit, because in the same aisle that I'm looking for baseball cards, there's a dude my age buying Pokemon cards. And we made eye contact, and he was like, hey, we're doing the same thing. And I was like, no. Neither of us are cool, but there are levels to this for sure. I got into it with this guy. I was like, you know how real a baseball card is, dude? My favorite player growing up was a guy named Chipper Jones, okay? I loved Chipper Jones as a kid. Now as an adult, I have a Chipper Jones card autographed by Chipper Jones. The guy on it signed it. Do you have a card autographed by Jigglypuff?
That's the sort of comedy you're going to hear when you go check out Aaron Weber at The Punchline. He'll be there on Thursday, April 25th with a whole bunch of shows right on through Sunday, April 28th. For tickets and information, go to punchline.com or check out aaronwebercomedy.com where you can find all his comedy dates and all of his socials right there. And you know what? It's cool. It looks like a MySpace page. If you'd like to hear the interview in its entirety, download the podcast Monday afternoon. Just find The Podcast with Tim Andrews in your favorite podcatcher. Is there a mosquito flying? Oh, no, it's Morgan Wallen. Coming up in the next half hour, Dickie Barrett, former lead singer of Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, now the front man for a band called The Defiant. Find out why they're called The Defiant. Don't go away. I have more with comedian Aaron Weber. It's The Podcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. But a 3x5 that you had in a drawer. We swung for the fences and came up short. Hi, welcome back to The Podcast with Tim Andrews. Continuing my conversation with comedian Aaron Weber, we're talking about baseball cards and the embarrassment that comes along with it, especially when you're an adult, but also when you're a kid. When I was watching your stand-up about it, the clip, it brought back a memory to me from, and this is 1986, okay, 86 Tops had just come out. My friend Elliot and I went down to the grocery, small town in Pennsylvania. We went down to the store. We had enough money, we bought a box, we're sitting there opening them on the park bench outside of the store, and one of the jocks from our high school walks over. He goes, "What the F are those?" And my immediate reaction was to hand them to my friend Ellie and go, "They're his." That's the embarrassment that you felt.
Oh, totally, man. But I think I'm at the age now, I'm getting there where I just don't care anymore, you know?
No.
I drove a minivan for a long time, and there was a time in my life where I would have been embarrassed to drive a minivan, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, God, I love that minivan, dude. And I don't care if some 16, 17-year-old kid comes, starts making fun of me for it.
Yep.
I'm like, it's awesome, dude.
Yeah, well, we eventually get to an age where we don't care what teenagers say.
You get to an age where it'd be weird if you did.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I'm afraid of that bully. He might call me something. I'm going to hide.
You're like, I'm an adult with a job.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
I'll be all right.
What do you do when you come to town, to Atlanta? Do you just kind of, where do they put you up? What do you like to do? Do you have free time?
Yeah, that's the blessing and the curse of doing stand-up comedy, is you don't go to work till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, so you just, a whole lot of my life is just like, how do we kill 5 hours? You know, so if I'm there during baseball season, like I am next month, I'll go to a game. There's a day game on Sunday.
Oh,
but
nice.
Then the rest of the time, I'm just doing whatever. I'll ask the audiences when I get there, like, what's the one place I got to eat tomorrow? Or what's the one thing I got to do? And I'll kind of crowdsource my plans for the weekend that way. But yeah, I'm coming into Atlanta with a pretty open schedule. So we'll see what goes on. I got a lot of friends in Atlanta. It's pretty close to Nashville, so the comedy scenes are connected.
Yeah.
Like, we all know each other. So I'm going to be hanging out with some old pals, and we'll figure out something to do.
Yeah, that comedy scene out of Nashville, everybody out there listening right now, check these guys out. You can start at Nateland and then just make your way out from there, because everybody on that show is funny. And Dusty's coming to town. I'm going to see him in the end of March. So that'll be fun.
Right.
Who does he have?
He'll be doing a slightly bigger venue than I will.
Slightly, yes, I know. But you'll. What do you prefer? Do you like the intimacy of the comedy club? Because Bert Kreischer just did two secret shows at the Punchline.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Getting ready for his, his next stadium tour or whatever, new material. But what do you prefer? Do you like the intimacy, or do you want that big room?
The intimacy is great. Now, I've never been given the opportunity to headline a room that big. I have opened for people in rooms that big, And I'll say maybe this comes later as you get better and more experience, but just the size of the venue and the scale of everything makes it a little more difficult to be comfortable and loose on stage.
Yeah.
At least for me. I've done some big venues in Atlanta, man. I've done the Fox Theater. I've done the Cobb Energy Center. I've done the Buckhead Theater. Those places are all great, but there's nothing quite like a comedy club when it's full and it's hot and the stage is right on top of them, and, you know, they can reach out and touch you like you're that close. There's something special about that.
Yeah, I love going to a comedy club and being as close as I can. In a club like the Punchline, no matter where you're sitting, you're close. I think the biggest venue.
Yeah, with my ticket sales, you'll be pretty close. Let me say.
No. You're gonna sell out every show. Damn it. That's.
I hope so. Yeah. From your lips to God's ears, Tim.
I'll make sure that they do. The biggest venue. I saw Carlin at the Fox a couple of times. Seinfeld once. You can tell I'm a comedy nerd. But
yeah,
I
love it.
Just preferred to. Sitting, the old Punchline used to be in an old house, and it was kind of this rundown place. Were you ever in there before they closed it?
No, but man, I've heard nothing but good things about it. People talk about that room. They talk about it with a lot of reverence.
Yeah.
The old Atlanta Punchline. People, I've heard nothing but great things about it.
And because I was on a morning show back then that always had comedians, and I was like, oh, I get to go sit upstairs in the balcony and da-da-da-da-da and hang out with the comedians and stuff. Don't get that so much anymore these days. But I will probably come and knock on the green room while you're there and go, hey, man.
Yeah.
I won't.
Come hang, man.
I won't do that. But I just want to reiterate to everybody out there, go check out Aaron's comedy. It's funny. He talks about things that relate to me, being in Gettysburg and wanting to. Well, you were halfway and you wanted to go to Hershey Park. I've been to Hershey Park 1,000 times.
I actually ended up going to Gettysburg. It's pretty awesome, man.
It's very vast. It's a really cool place.
It's a lot more solemn than I thought it would be. This is how naive I am. I thought it would be. I thought it was like the North's Gatlinburg.
Yeah. No.
I thought it was just part of the Berg family. Like, this is going to be pretty kitschy. There's going to be roller coasters. It's mostly just a graveyard.
41 years ago, President Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address in the town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, in the hopes that that someday there'd be casinos built on that land and a roller coaster and all sorts of fun things. But it's just a big old graveyard. I'm Shelby Foote.
No, it's not Shelby Foote. It's Tim Andrews. We have a little bit more with Aaron Weber coming up in the next half hour, plus my interview with Dickie Barrett from The Defiant, his brand new band. Don't go away. You're listening to The Popcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. Welcome back to The Popcast with Tim Andrews. The second half hour begins right now, finishing up my interview with comedian Aaron Weber. He's coming to The Punchline from April 25th through the 28th. Go to punchline.com or aaronweber.com to find tickets. Don't be alarmed, because halfway through this segment, it picks up with Dickie Barrett, the frontman for The Defiant, who are also coming to Atlanta. You can check out all that information at their website, which is thedefiantofficial.com. And I'll tell you where they're going to be. Center Stage, May 2nd. They're on a big, big bill with Me First and the Gimme Gimmes and Ultra Bomb.
So I stayed in Gettysburg, and God, it was like 0 degrees. my car died on the way back, so I have a weird association in my mind with Gettysburg now, after just a hell of a day trying to get back. Once that comedy will take me, it's taken me places. I mean, I don't know how many of these towns I would have gone to. My family, we never took vacations. We never really traveled. And now I'm on the road every weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm learning to just, you know, enjoy these places. I don't know if I'll ever go back. I was in North Dakota a few weeks ago. When the heck would I ever have gone to North Dakota?
Never.
Outside of comedy. There's no reason for me to go up there. But I was like, hey, let's go spend a weekend in Fargo. Let's see what's going on here. So,
did you have fun?
It's exciting. Yeah, dude, there's fun stuff to do everywhere.
Yeah, you just got to find it.
It's kind of the cool thing I've learned. It's like, people are having fun out here in these towns. There's a tendency to overlook middle America when you're in New York and LA and you think there's nothing to do out there. They're just farming and going to sleep. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's fun stuff to do everywhere. There's good food everywhere. It's just, you know, it's been that's the coolest part of comedy, is just getting to travel and see these places.
Yeah, it's not Little House on the Prairie. There's people living their lives and having fun and going places.
Right. Yeah. It's the 21st century. There's internet everywhere. You know?
And if you live in a small town in the middle of the country and you don't have a cool scene, well, you can just get online and get on TikTok or whatever and just have a good time.
Exactly, man. Yeah, it's a small world.
Yes. All right, before I let you go, I want to say that I watched you at Window Cliffs on your page walking and hiking in Tennessee. I ain't doing that. You went to the cliff and you're standing there. I'm like, no way am I doing that.
Yeah, I have a huge fear of heights.
And you did it anyway.
That particular hike, the payoff is you get to the top of this cliff and there's no railings, there's no net. Actually, while I was recording that video, I lost my water bottle. It fell out of my backpack, and I just watched it fall all the way down to the ground. I thought, I'll never see that again. But I've taken that hike with friends who are like, I'm not going up there with you, man. Mm-hmm. And they just stay back. They're like, I'm not climbing up to the top. And I'm like, oh, that's the whole point. You're conquering your fear. Nah. You know, but some people just won't do it. But if I stay in a hotel, 10th floor, I don't like looking out the window being up that high. You know, we're supposed to be on the ground. We're a ground species. I think we gotta
I'm not going hang gliding. I don't even like flying in a plane, but I do it because you have to.
Yeah, I hate it too. I get an aisle seat and I want that window closed and I want to just pretend, you know, I'm on a bus.
Yep. Well, except going to the
Southwest, that's easy to do a lot of times. Yep.
Going to the bathroom on a plane is better than trying to go to the bathroom on a Greyhound.
I imagine you're right. I've never, I actually just used a bathroom on a plane for the first time recently. I put it off.
Yeah.
I put it off for a long time, but eventually you don't have a choice, right? You got to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So. Oh, I haven't been on a Greyhound in a while, but I remember, you know, you're on a road and there's bumpy roads and you're not hitting that toilet at all. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God, and nobody.
No. Right. And then you're going to be dusty. Like, I don't like washing my hands. I'm trying to do
Yeah.
I've been trying to do an impression of him, and it's too hard for me to do because there's too much going on. Yeah, I meant.
There's a lot going on, dude. You gotta move your hands around. You gotta grab your glasses. You gotta pull at your shirt. It's a whole physical effort doing an impression of him.
I raise my hand a lot, you know, and I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm like a third base coach out here.
Yeah, you do right. it. You got it. You nailed it. You're around him all the time. It's easier to pick
up. I'm around him enough that yeah. I've got a lot of his little idiosyncrasies down for sure.
AaronWeberComedy.com, A-A-R-O-N, Weber with one B, comedy.com. You can follow him on Facebook, X, and TikTok, at Real Aaron Weber. Aaron, it's been a pleasure talking to you, meeting you, and I look forward to seeing you at the Punchline.
Dude, thanks so much. I'll see you at the Punchline, man. Thanks so much for having me.
This is Dickie Barrett. I'm in The Defiant. It's a band made up of guys that were in other bands who said at some point, hey, and crossed each other's path throughout the years, throughout the duration of our long and illustrious careers, and said, hey, we should sometime maybe get together and try writing together. And then that time came, and we said, I said to Greg, do you want to see if we can produce anything? And if we couldn't, we sort of quietly agreed that we would walk away from it and never speak of it, that we ever even thought of such a thing. But rapidly, it started to turn into something that we enjoyed not only working on, but listening to, and said, hey, we should get some other guys involved. And at that point, we contacted Pete Parada, who's a longtime drummer for the band The Offspring. And he's drummed in other bands as well. Face to Face is one of them. And he's played with Devo, which thrilled me.
Yeah.
To learn that. And then from there, we asked a guy named Joey LaRocca, who was in a California punk band called The Briggs. And then we also asked my longtime friend and my brother, but not really my brother, just, you know, the way dudes say that. My brother, Johnny Rio
yeah.
from the Street Dogs. He's a guy from New Hampshire, and the Street Dogs are a band from Boston.
Nice.
And so together we made the album, if we're really being honest.
And it's a lot of fun. Do you consider yourselves to be a super group, you know, because there's so many of those. These are super groups.
I'd add other adjectives in fairness to true super groups like the Highwaymen or the Traveling Wilburys. I would say 90s punk rock super group, you know, so it kind of waters it down a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable thinking of myself in the same
yes.
categories. Say Bob Dylan or Willie Nelson.
Yeah, Hey, listen, if we're really being honest, I was listening to it the other day, and I kind of felt transported, you know. Listening to that put me at 22, living in that post-college, what the hell am I going to do besides drink phase of my life. And music is still important to me, but back then it was everything, you know.
Right.
The whole album, it's transformative, if that makes any sense to you at all. It's like, it puts me in a mood to party. I wanted to pop open a beer, even though I was, you know, watching my son, and it was Sunday morning.
That would be irresponsible.
Very irresponsible. you know, still having it and still able to create great, catchy pop ska. I don't know, punk ska. I don't really know what genres mean, is what I'm saying. But
it's exactly where it comes from. And when I say that, it also comes from, you know, 1970s into the 1980s when, you know, bands like The Clash and you know, new wave bands, the Pretenders, the Buzzcocks, when those sort of bands were making, you know, very new music, but also making albums and collections of songs. And then I also think that it's, you know, right this very minute, because the themes and the subject matters and the stuff which we're speaking about or singing about is, you know, 2024. So
yeah,
it's all of those things. We're, you know, guys that had our greatest success in the you know, 1990s for sure, and but also had, you know, legacy bands and bands that we've continued playing with. And once again, you know, our influences were from that, you know, era.
Yeah.
of Elvis Costello, and I could list a, you know,
tons.
But you, tons and tons and tons.
But you kind of touched.
We'll save that for the podcast. When I do your podcast, I'll save that.
Yes, because we're gonna. Well, we might get there here a little bit, because in the song "Dead Language," you know, the lyrics, they touch on heroes who died at 27, and I think a lot of us who are into the music scene know who they are, especially the ones who all died in, what was it, 71, and also
Cobain. It was weird that it was 27, right? Cobain was 27, and I think. So was Hendrix.
Yeah, yeah. So was Janis Joplin.
That's true.
Yeah, they are all 27 years old.
Jim Morrison.
Morrison too. Even though he didn't die, he's still alive. But the he and Elvis.
You know who his father was, don't you?
Yes, his father was the head of the naval
admiral.
Yeah, he was an admiral involved with the Gulf of Tonkin and Vietnam.
Yes, I think he sunk that ship.
What do you do when you're interviewing somebody that you've never spoken to before and you find out you're kindred spirits when it comes to talking about conspiracies and Laurel Canyon and Charles Manson and the chaos? Well, you talk a lot. We spoke for, gosh, I think an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And of course, it's not all going to fit in here. And what I can put in the podcast, I will. So make sure you grab that on Monday afternoon when I post it. Check out the podcast in your favorite podcast feed. Don't go away. One more segment. Dickie Barrett. The name of the band is The Defiant, and they're coming to Atlanta on May 2nd at Center Stage. It's the podcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. Congratulations, you have failed the test with flying colors. For one reason or another. Welcome back to the podcast with Tim Andrews. Finishing up with Dickie Barrett, the frontman for The Defiant. They're a new supergroup. And of course, Dickie Barrett used to be the frontman for Mighty Mighty Bosstones. They're coming to Atlanta on, when is that? It's May 2nd. You can find out all that information at thedefiantofficial.com. Tickets available for the show at ticketmaster.com. The entire lineup includes The Defiant, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, and Ultra Bomb. Let's get back to it. When you put out an album now, it's not like when you put one out back in the 90s. Like back then, you really had to cut through the clutter, but you had a pipeline. You had college radio, MTV. What's the special sauce? I know that you put the album out last fall, but in 2024, how did Gen Xers who were fans find out about this? How do they find out about The Defiant if they're not, you know, connected into the music world like they used to be? Because is it on the radio? Are you getting airplay, or is it just streaming?
It's streaming. It's whatever it does on Spotify. It's social media. I think that there's a, you know, I don't know the game the way I used to, and I don't really care all that much. I the art part of it is way more important to me and kind of always has been. So you know, how it's done. And but there's, we've had some success with it, and people are very excited, and we've got a tour coming up. So
yeah, let's talk about it real quick, because you are going to be in Atlanta. You are going to be with are you with Me First in the Gimme Gimmes?
They will be headlining. We will be on right before them.
All right, and that's Thursday, May 2nd at Center Stage, and people can go to Ticketmaster.com to find tickets. What a nice night for a show. I might come to that Thursday night. Why not?
Dude, I would love that.
Definitely.
That would be great.
I definitely want to go to that, because I don't get to do that very often anymore. I have a two-year-old, almost three-year-old, so I want to do it.
Are you sleeping? Are you in the, is it past the part where you're not sleeping anymore?
Way past that. He sleeps like a log. And yes.
It wasn't that long ago when you were walking around, right?
Oh, I was a zombie, dude. I would love to spend a long time talking to you on a podcast. I mean, and since this is going to be on the radio, and you know, then there's a podcast version of it, but I just love talking to you, man. This is cool. I wish the audience
are a mad ass, and I really enjoyed it myself.
But let's close with As One, just like the album closes with the refrain, Where Do We Go Now? That used to be a very good question, an important question. Usually we just go find another place to drink. But I don't think you're just talking about the party ending. What are you talking about in a general sense?
Talking about when things end, when things are over, what do you do with yourself? And I had to sort of address that and ask those questions myself not that long ago. And you know, when you think something's never going to end, but then it does end, where do you go from there? And I think that that's sort of what the Defiant is, you know, when, you know, I was left with, what am I going to do now? The game plan wasn't to do the Boston's for 40 years and then put together another band. But when someone else said it's over, I said, well, it's not over till I say it's over. And that's sort of why I came up with the Defiant. And now happily I've discovered that I can do something life after life.
Yeah, life after life. Keep living. That's the best thing to do, and keep making art. The name of the album is If We're Really Being Honest. The name of the band, The Defiant. And you can, again, see them at Center Stage Thursday, May 2nd. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com. The Center Stage venue is a great place to see music, and I'm looking forward to going to the show. I'm going to have to hit up our mutual friend.
What's the other name of Center Stage? We used to play it all the time.
Earthlink. Was it Earthlink Live back in the day?
Well,
it was Center
Stage. Not the Masquerade?
Oh, the Masquerade. Yeah, they're associated with each other. I think the Masquerade is putting on the show at Center Stage, if I'm right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the Masquerade used to be a great, it was like a big old building in the middle of...
weird old building, right?
Yeah, and they moved it to Underground Atlanta. That's where it is now.
Oh, and it won't have the charm, you know, that building was fantastic.
Dickie, thank you very much, man. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope we can talk again.
All right, I'll see you when we get there.
Man, we really made a connection. We talked about conspiracy theories and... the stuff that happened over the last 4 or 5 years. But, you know, we're not sharing it here on the radio show. Some of it you'll be able to get on the podcast version of the Popcast Monday afternoon in your favorite podcatcher, Dickie Barrett, the name of the band, The Defiant. And they are a lot of fun if you like that kind of music. Throws you right back into the 90s. Pick it up and check it out. And thanks to my first guest this week, Mr. Aaron Weber. You can find out all about him and his comedy at AaronWeberComedy.com. He'll be at the Punchline. Let's check those dates. Thursday, April 25th through Sunday, April 28th. Plenty of opportunities to see him and talk about baseball cards and hiking and all those things. And I think he even has a baseball card that he made of himself that he'll sign when you go to that show. And you can catch him on the Nate Land podcast as well. That's going to do it for this week. Lots more guests coming up. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I have to remind everybody, you can grab this show as a podcast, get the full thing, uncut, Monday afternoons on your favorite podcatcher. Did I say that enough? Maybe I need to say it again. No, I'm not going to say it again. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening. Milani Kai is up next, followed by The Nightcap with Jared Yamamoto. Thanks for listening to the podcast on 95.5 WSB.